The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Our text for this Reformation Sunday is from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 4, the 5th through the 7th verses. What we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. The hymn we just sang was written not by Martin Luther, but by Martin Frontzman, who for many years taught at our Synod Seminary in St. Louis. He had been born in Minnesota in 1907, and he died in England in 1976. When I look back on God's many blessings in my life, I often think that one of the greatest blessings was the privilege of having had Dr. Frontzman for my teacher, because he was a man who not only showed us the Savior through his teaching, but he also embodied the light and joy of Christ in his very being. It was in the autumn of 1954 that Dr. Walter Boussin, a colleague of Dr. Frontzman and a church musician, asked him to write a hymn which could be sung during the rather lengthy procession of graduates and faculty members at the annual graduation at the seminary. In response to Dr. Boussin's request, Dr. Frontzman wrote this wonderful hymn, and beginning in 1955, it has been sung at almost every graduation at our St. Louis Seminary since that time. It was sung at my graduation in 1967. This hymn is best understood in the light of the very beginning of Holy Scripture and in the light of the very beginning of St. John's Gospel. Holy Scripture begins with these words: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." The Gospel, according to St. John, begins with these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. In the beginning was the Word. All things were made through him. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. St. Paul brings all these words together when he writes to the church at Corinth. It is God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And so at the very beginning of Holy Scripture, we find the presence of the eternal Son, who is the eternal Word of the Father. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. In the beginning was the Word. All things were made through him. And Dr. Franzmann sings, thy strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking it was done. Lo, on men who dwelt in darkness, dark as night and deep as death, broke the light of thy salvation. From the cross thy wisdom streaming breaketh forth in conquering might. From the cross forever beameth all thy bright, redeeming light. Thy strong word bespeaks us righteous, bright with thine own holiness. It is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. God who made us is God who has saved us. As Dr. Luther sings in one of his wonderful Christmas hymns, he whom all the worlds cannot contain does in Mary's lap repose. He has become an infant small, who by his might upholds all. And God, who has through his Son saved us from ruin, continues to work, though all unseen, for our salvation and that of the whole world. No one can see the power of the Holy Spirit in the plain water of baptism. No one can see that the word of forgiveness pronounced by Christ's called and ordained servants is in fact forgiveness from God himself. No one can see the Lord's holy body in his precious blood, in the consecrated bread and wine of the sacrament. And no one can see that in heaven our Savior, as the eternal high priest, continually intercedes for his holy church with all its members. The same Savior and Lord who once said to his disciples, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom hidden here in time, the kingdom unveiled there in eternity." The church is truly Christ's bride and Christ's mystical body. But the church's glory is and always will be hidden in this age, hidden under the cross of human failure and conflict and suffering and persecution. For just as the eternal glory of the eternal Son and Word of the Father was hidden from earthly sight in his crucifixion, no one could see in that thorn-crowned body the one who is himself eternal God, one of the Holy Trinity. Just so the glory of Christ's mystical body, the church, is for now hidden from our eyes. But it will not always be so, because the prayer which Jesus prayed on the night before his passion will in the end be surely and wonderfully answered. Jesus prayed, "Father, I desire also that those whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am, to behold the glory which thou hast given me in thy love for me before the foundation of the world. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen."